Good morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News, and we're back after the holidays. It's Monday, January 5th. I'm Charles Pelkey with these news updates from around Wyoming. Coal production has declined since its peak in 2008, and economists say that trend will likely continue despite the Trump administration's efforts. Wyoming Public Radio's Caitlin Tan reports from the top coal-producing state.
University of Wyoming economics professor Rob Godbey is reviewing the state's coal production numbers.
This year in Wyoming, it'll be probably the second worst year ever after last year. So, you know, it's not great by historical standards at all.
The Trump administration is trying to reverse that trend by rolling back regulations, lowering fees on coal companies, devoting hundreds of millions of taxpayer dollars to industry, and opening up federal acres to mining. Godbey says that's slightly slowed the decline in coal production this year, but
most analysts expect that that downward trend will continue, and really it just comes down to cost.
Starting this year, Wyoming's Naughton plant near Kemmer is no longer burning coal, just natural gas. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Caitlin Tan.
Wyoming lawmakers will have a lot on their plate this upcoming budget session. Wyoming Public Radio's Chris Clements reports that will include a bill to repeal all residential property tax collection from the state constitution.
Gillette Senator Troy McEwen leads a committee that forwarded the repeal. He says property taxes are immoral.
You can never own your own house. The government puts a lien on it in perpetuity.
He compared local governments worried about the loss of revenue caused by the cuts to someone shouting, "The sky is falling."
Since COVID and ARPA funding, everybody's kind of gotten fat and spoiled.
But Anna Phillips, with the left-leaning Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, says equating property taxes to a lien ignores what those taxes pay for.
You're not paying for the pleasure of owning a home. You're paying for the ongoing services that your home requires to be safe for you.
She says states like Texas and Florida have also been talking about similarly sweeping property tax repeals in recent years. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Chris Clements.
Environmental groups are asking Congress to freeze new data center development nationwide, citing rising pollution and energy use. But as Wyoming Public Radio's Hannah Mertzbach reports, one group in our region is pushing for other solutions.
Jocelyn Wolf, a fellow at the nonprofit Wyoming Outdoor Council, accepts that data centers are coming to the state.
We do just need to get in front of the boom and not have to play catch up.
In a new white paper, Wolf says Wyoming could follow Utah's lead and make developers pay for burdening power grids, or California's, and ensure there's review of all projects and public comment, which isn't happening in Wyoming right now.
You can end up with these facilities consuming the same amount of resources that a small city does that doesn't go through the kinds of checks and balances you'd expect to see for that scale of impact.
The Wyoming Outdoor Council is not among the more than 200 environmental groups calling for a moratorium on data center development. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Hannah Mersbach.
Starting this month, international visitors will be charged an extra $100 to enter a handful of the country's most popular national parks, including the Grand Canyon, Yellowstone, and Grand Teton. As the Mountain West News Bureau's Rachel Cohen reports, the policy is drawing mixed reviews.
As Mike Darby sees it, all roads in Wyoming lead to Yellowstone National Park. He's the co-owner of the historic Irma Hotel in Cody on the way to the east entrance. Darby thinks faced with higher fees at parks, international visitors could spend less in town.
They're going to cut back in some way. I really have to think that. Maybe looking for cheaper lodging, not spending as much in our shops.
Other business owners by parks told the Mountain West News Bureau they didn't think the surcharge would have major impacts. Non-residents also have the option of buying an annual pass for $250. For U.S. residents, it costs $80. The National Park Service says the new fees are designed to protect park resources. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Rachel Cohen.
Last summer, the Department of the Interior called for a review of gift shop items at national parks. The deadline for a final review and removal of items deemed to, quote, disparage Americans passed last month. It's unclear if Grand Teton National Park or its partners have to remove anything. Shops in the park are closed during the winter. The Grand Teton Association, which runs several of the park's concessions, did not immediately return Jackson Hole Community Radio's request for comment. Books on Wyoming history are sold at the park's stores, including one on the history of Heart Mountain, where the U.S. government forcibly sent Japanese Americans during World War II. Ray Locker is the communications director at the Heart Mountain Wyoming Foundation. He says if these books fall under the federal order, it would be a public loss.
People were put in camps for no good reason. They lost their homes. They lost their businesses. Everybody who understands the history knows that happened. And so to somehow remove books that tell that history, you know, I think that's counterproductive.
The Department of the Interior did not answer whether books on Wyoming history, like Heart Mountain, fall under the order. And now let's hear from Ivy Engel for a look at what happened this week in Wyoming history.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from history from around the state. According to the Wyoming Historical Society, on January 5, 1925, Wyoming Governor Nellie Taylor Ross took office as the first woman governor in the nation. On January 6, 1963, the Laramie Campfire Girls and Junior Chamber of Commerce burned 2,000 Christmas trees in Labonte Park. On January 7, 1915, it was reported that Casper would reopen its recently closed Red Light District. On January 7, 1958, it was reported that Casper could no longer promote itself as the Bachelor Capital of America. A special census showed more females than males. On January 8, 1867, Laramie County, which encompassed most of what later became Wyoming, was established by the Dakota Territorial Legislature. And according to the University of Wyoming American Heritage Center, on January 5, 1920, University President Avon Nelson addressed the student assembly. To start the new year on the importance of making good resolutions, he told them that, quote, life is full of standards, which one either lives up to or falls beneath. Inspiring? For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And here's today's Wyoming trivia question. What makes Albany County's Big Hollow so unique? Send us your answer to wyomingpublicradio@gmail.com or by message on Instagram or Facebook, and we'll give a shout out to the first person with the correct answer. As for our last trivia question, when did Wyoming's peregrine falcon conservation effort begin, and has it proven to be successful? Wyoming Game and Fish's efforts began in the late 1980s, and it has been helped in large part by the federal ban on the insecticide DDT. The goal was to stabilize the threatened population, and the department released 384 captive-bred falcons, helping create a self-sustaining breeding population. Population numbers are imprecise, but the population has improved from threatened to stable. Congratulations to William Campbell, who was the first to submit the correct answer. Well, that's it for today. Thanks for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Have a great day, and join me again tomorrow.